everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show, and together, the two of us are delighted you're along for the ride on this Thursday afternoon at 12:05 in Tucson, Arizona. It's Thursday, August the 11th, 2016. A lot of rain up in the Marana area this morning. It was kind of a very regionalized downpour up in that area. Here in the central part of Tucson, nothing today, and doesn't really look like we're going to be getting any, but you never know. Links to the Buckmaster Show, we have all sorts of links for you. TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040 for your calls. And if you've got some questions about the weather, that will be our opening half-hour topic today. We also invite you to become a friend of ours on Facebook. There's still room for some more friends. In addition, we're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Dr. Zach Guido, University of Arizona climate scientist. He's UA Climate with the UA Climate Assessment for the Southwest Group at the UA Base Institute of the Environment. Zach, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me again. It's always great to talk about the monsoon.
Oh, it's always fun, and we started the monsoon with you, and we didn't really know what to expect. And one of the things that I think we can say with certainty, and there's very few certainties when it comes to your area, your profession, climate, weather, but one of them is there really is no kind of template for that was a typical monsoon, or that was like an average monsoon. Now, I know when you say average, yes, there will be obviously average rainfalls accumulation over the years, but the way it's all that we're going to get to that accumulation, there's no template.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's actually one of the challenges with being a climate scientist and trying to summarize not only the temporal variability, but the spatial variability about the monsoon and talk to people about it in an intelligent way. There are many flavors to the monsoon, and you end up at the end of the season with, let's say, average precipitation, but you can get there in a whole bunch of different ways. Last year is a good example. It was sort of a ho-hum sort of monsoon. We ended up sort of average conditions. If you look at the number of days we got precipitation, the intensity of that precipitation, the total amount of precipitation, but it was all much of it, a large fraction of it came at the end. Mm-hmm. So it was backloaded. You know, this year, if you look at what we've experienced so far, we had a really, we had an early onset, started before, actually even before July 1st.
I believe the wettest June. Maybe first or second wettest June, yeah.
Yeah, we had 2 or 3 days prior to July 1st where there was region-wide precipitation. Mm-hmm. It was quite impressive. And the monsoon sort of set up, June 24th or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you could see at that time that moisture was sort of knocking at the door on the south coming up from Mexico. And then a couple days later, the monsoon ridge sort of migrated north of us and allowed that moisture to move up into southeast Arizona and southern, actually most of Arizona for that matter. And we had widespread precipitation. So the beginning of the monsoon was great for us here in Tucson. And you know, of course, we'll still have another month or so left mm-hmm. of the monsoon. Mm-hmm. So our flavor this year remains to be written.
Well, you know, the July 1st was really the kind of the beginning or the end of that first initial burst. And when that blew through finally, I was thinking to myself that, you know, it was one of the most gorgeous days. You had some puffy white clouds, but it almost had a feel of an end of the monsoon. I know it was July 1st, but it almost had like kind of an early autumn feel to it. But something was really different. And the air, of course, had really dried out.
Yeah.
But that continued. And I know we get breaks.
Yeah.
10 days, week to 10. This was a 3.5 week break in July.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of the beginning of the monsoon spoiled us because we wanted it to continue. And then what actually happened was is the position of the monsoon high moved north earlier than what usually happens. And as you alluded to before, normal is hard to get, right? Normal is just a fabric or a fabrication of our statistical smoothing. And so the monsoon high moved further north. We were able to get moisture in from the south. That then moved, the high moved south of us. And we were under westerly flow and dry conditions for close to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there was talk amongst, is this going to be what's called an empty monsoon? People in India often talk about a flare up initially, but then the monsoon sort of goes away. Was it going to mm-hmm. be an empty monsoon? And you know, we were hoping that it would return, and it did return. We've had a lot of moisture in this area, high dew points, high humidity. So we've had the ingredients for it for a while. It's just been whether or not we can put all of the sort of factors together that are necessary to create convection and to create widespread precipitation.
Yeah, because as July dragged on and I complained every morning, where is the rain? We started to think back to some of us that follow weather closely about historical times, like in the 1920s, there was a year where I believe there was good rain early on, mm-hmm. early June. Then the whole monsoon fizzled out completely, and it was less than 2 inches of rain for the total monsoon. So we were hoping it was not going to be one of those crazy, as you call it, the dry monsoon.
Yeah, and I think there's hope that those kinds of conditions don't characterize the remaining month or so of the monsoon. And there are historical year analogs where that has actually happened. So, it's really hard to predict what the monsoon's going to do beyond, the weather sort of forecast. And so, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what the next month brings. But so far it's been really good. And Tucson's been a winner. If you look at the rain gauge at the airport, we're close to the average for the season already. We mm-hmm. have a month to go. So the average is around 6 inches. We're very close to that right now. And so even if we tailed off and didn't get any more precipitation, we would be at average. But of course, everybody would say that the second half of the monsoon was really bad and the first half was good. So it's a little bit more nuanced than just calling it average.
790-2040, if you have any questions, weather-related, climate-related, weather predicting is a very, very difficult thing. And especially, I'm getting now to what happened Tuesday. When you get the whole combination of the remnants, what's left of a tropical disturbance like we had with Javier off the coast of Baja. The problem is you're going to get, it really becomes, Zach Guido, a steering wind mechanism driven kind of storm.
Yeah, so the Tuesday event smacked downtown central Tucson, actually most of Tucson. And you know, that was interesting, if I can just go back a mm-hmm. little bit, because we were more or less under conditions where if we didn't have Javier, and Javier sort of helped push moisture up from the Gulf of California and Mexico, if we didn't have that, we probably would have been dry mm-hmm. because we had westerly flow. So we had these sort of large regional scale factors that were not favorable for large scale convection and precipitation. But we did have Javier, this remnant of this tropical storm, which actually had been the remnant of Hurricane Earl, which came in from the Atlantic, passed over Central America, and then refired up into Javier and pushed moisture north. And yeah, it wasn't a widespread event. Like, it was
relatively narrow path,
yeah. confined, but it hit SOC Tucson, and consequently, some people got on the order of 2.5 inches of rain in an hour, a little mm-hmm. bit more than an hour. Mm-hmm. So it was a very intense, moisture-laden event.
Let's go to our live line, 790-2040. And I think Dan is with us. Dan would like to talk about hurricanes. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hi, pretty good today. I would like to know why hurricanes move from west to east here but all the storms and the weather over the United States moves from west to east. What causes all that?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. Typically what happens is the hurricanes in the east, so there's two areas in which hurricanes form, in the Atlantic and the Caribbean, and then in the eastern Pacific. We tend to get, later on in the season, remnants of hurricanes that form in the East Pacific. The hurricane season in the East Pacific sort of lasts from early summer, late summer, rather, to late winter. The hurricanes form south of us, and in that case, there is easterly flow, and so it's steering the storms from east to west. But as the storms sort of propagate west and north, they then flow into westerly flow, and they recurve back into the U.S. So you get this sort of curvature pattern. So part of it depends on where those storms, where the hurricanes form. Now, most of the decaying tropical moisture from these tropical storms happens in September and October and November, when the storms propagate further north and can recurve back into the western United States.
Actually, that's a really good question. I've wondered about it myself, because when the storms form off of the coast of West Africa, the nursery, if you will, for hurricanes, they're moving in a direction from the east to west. But generally, you think of weather here in this continent anyway, I think it has to do with the jet stream moving from west to east.
Yeah, and this relates to the monsoon, because typically we're in westerly flow. So our weather comes from the west. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens during the wintertime. What's unique about the monsoon is that hinge line between the westerlies and easterlies moves further north. So, and this is about the monsoon high. So when the monsoon high is to our north, north of that is westerly flow. South of that is easterly flow.
Interesting. All right. Clearing it up. And Dan, that was a really good question, because I've wondered about it myself. Green Things has plenty of green out there right now, 13 acres. Boy, the plants at Green Things love this monsoon. Check out Green Things again on 13 acres. They've got free workshops, gardening workshops, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m., and they're just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com, 3384 East River Road. It's really a destination in itself. Check it out.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. Five Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call Five Star at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. Five Star Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts Five Star at 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thursday afternoon, Dr. Zach Guido, University of Arizona climate scientist. We are talking about what's turned out to be a very active summer thunderstorm season for us right now. And has this done some good as far as the drought, dealing with the drought? I keep hearing these different terms. Maybe this is year 15. Who knows? It's a long time.
I think we're perpetually in a drought.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, the short answer to that, Bill, is this kind of precipitation helps certain things. Like, it helps grasses. It helps stave off the fire season. We had a pretty active, in terms of the number of acres burned, fire season, but that basically stopped. We haven't had a fire since the monsoon began in late June. Mm-hmm. So it helps, you know, with that. It tends not to help so much with our water supply. So winter precipitation is more important there. Local water supplies too, recharge of the groundwater tends not to be impacted as much as winter precipitation, because most of the monsoon precipitation runs off and we don't do as good of a job as harnessing it. So the short answer is that the monsoon season can help stave off short-term drought conditions. Anything that responds quickly to moisture, like vegetation or grasses in particular, it tends to do less for long-term drought conditions. And, you know, the longer I live here, the more I realize it's just easier to be dry. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a dry place. If we miss out on a couple storms during the winter, it's below average precipitation. You know, that happens more often than above average precipitation.
Roberta has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Roberta, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Oh, pretty good, thank you.
Good.
I'm so glad you have your guest down, because I've had a question for the last couple of years.
Go ahead.
When I first came here almost 25 years ago, I lived out in the county, so I don't know if it was different from the city, but during the monsoons, it would be sunny every day, and it would cloud up for 1 hour every afternoon and rain, and then after 1 hour, The rain would stop, the clouds would blow away, the sun would come out, and you'd never know it had rained. And now it seems we have so many more cloudy and overcast days mm-hmm. than we used to have. And I'm wondering, is that because of the chemtrails? Are they blocking out the sun? Is that what they're used for?
Well, I don't know about chemtrails, but I'll let Zach answer that in a moment. But you bring up, again, a question that I have wondered about, not the chemtrail portion of it. And I hear people talking, kind of, I guess we could call ourselves some old-timers, because I remember when I first came out here to go to the U of A in the 60s, when I spent a summer out here, it would, as Roberta portrays, Zach, do these kind of one-hour kind of more of a tropical shower that you'd see down in like South Florida or something like that. And it does seem like we've had these more intense storms. So now I'll let you pick up on the chemtrail portion of that question.
Yeah, it's what you speak of is whether or not we've seen any patterns in the monsoon through time and whether or not it's become more cloudy or the character of the rain has changed. I think if you look at a lot of the different metrics, it's really hard to find trends in precipitation. I haven't looked at cloud cover, for example, but in terms of the total precipitation, in terms of the number of days, in terms of the intensity, it's really hard to see any sort of trends in that data. But I think what you're also alluding to is a little bit of what we've experienced this year. Which has been different. I mean, the normal sort of monsoon character is to have these convective storms that build during the day and produce these very isolated showers where you can see the mm-hmm. rain sheets.
Kind of a walking rain in the distance, you'd see them, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of the baseline conditions. That's when we think of the monsoon, that's what we think about. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things that go into it that can produce, however, big regional events where you get precipitation during the morning, which isn't what you think of during the monsoon. And we've had a couple of those events this year. And then I think part of what you're saying is a little bit what you were alluding to earlier, Bill, which is there are just a whole bunch of different ways to produce monsoon precipitation. And each year has its own character. And I think this year, you know, we had an early onset, we had these big regional events. And, you know, in the past years, maybe you're recalling it was more of these isolated mm-hmm. isolated systems, years that produce more isolated convective storms than they are currently doing. But I don't know if I've seen any way to say that there's patterns that are evolving within the monsoon. I mean, it is an area of very active research.
And you have not done research on so-called chemtrails.
I have not, so I can't speak to that. So maybe you'll have to wait another 2 years for an answer for that.
Okay. Caller wants to know, why are the morning lows so high? They have been unusually high.
Well, so when you have a lot of humidity in the area, you tend to have higher low temperatures. The humidity helps keep the temperatures high. Like there's more cloud cover, so you get less radiative cooling. So this is the part about the monsoon that's really interesting is that there is a correlation between temperature and precipitation. So when you tend to have dry monsoons, you tend to have hotter monsoon seasons, and that's because you get higher daytime temperatures as well.
And we have not mentioned. We've done a whole half hour, Zach, and we haven't talked about El Nino, La Nina. Are we in what's called a neutral period here?
We are. So we're transitioning.
Maybe that's why I didn't talk about it. It's
well,
neutral.
It's also, once you pass the early part of the monsoon season, there isn't a signal that's related to El Nino or La Nina for the monsoon. So it's not a driving force. It is, however, a big driving force for our winter precipitation. But, you know, right now we're in a transition season, and so we're going from what was a really strong El Nino event, and it remains to be seen what will ultimately traverse into for the winter. The indication right now is probably a weak La Nina event. There's some uncertainty in that. Weak La Nina events statistically make it more favorable for us to get dry conditions. And part of that is because of what you were saying before with the direction of the winds. The La Nina events tend to push the storm track that come in from the west further north.
All right, Dr. Zach Guido. When I see Dr. Guido again, he will have been to a place I can only imagine. He will have been to Mongolia. I've been all over the world, but never really met anybody that's been to Mongolia. So we'll hear about your trip. I mean, that would be fascinating.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well,
I mean, I know about the Gobi Desert. Yes, of course, that's one of the signature places.
Yep, the Gobi. I'm excited to go learn about the climate there. It's not for work. It's for pleasure.
Of course. Your work has to do with Jamaica, and you may be going back down there to see how helping out the coffee growers in the Blue Mountains.
That's right. Working with coffee farmers to see how they can better use climate information to make sure that their production is good.
All right, Zach. Safe travels to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Zach Guido from the University of Arizona talking weather with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk politics. Captain L. Melvin, former state senator, will be with me in the studio, and he's running on a ticket with two other Republicans for the Arizona Corporation Commission. All three on the ticket will be with us, two telephonically, one in studio. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an AMA Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, Alan Schultz from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you're sure to find a business you can trust. Whether you need a quote from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with TUSD Board President Atalita Grijalva. Our Friday roundtable features Jim Nintzel of The Weekly and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch Buckmaster Live noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're going to focus in the next half hour on the Arizona Corporation Commission. There are five seats on that commission. Three of those seats are standing seats right now that are being questioned in the election. There are seven candidates. Only two Democrats, that's Bill Mundell and Tom Chapin, are running for the three commission seats, which means they will face in November the three out of the five Republicans who win in the August primary. Let me go over you, the names for you of those five Republicans. Former Chandler Mayor and Superior Court Judge Boyd Dunn. We have incumbent Commissioner Bob Burns. Newly appointed Commissioner Andy Tobin. Of course, Andy Tobin is former Speaker of the Arizona House. Former State Senator Al Melvin, who is with me in studio. And Rick Gray. Rick Gray is former House Majority Whip. Now, Andy Tobin, Al Melvin, and Rick Gray have teamed up, and they are running together on a ticket, if you will, and they're calling themselves your conservative team. Senator Melvin with me in studio, and we have Commissioner Tobin, and we have former state lawmaker Representative Gray on our live line. Gentlemen on the phone, thank you very much for being with us. Rick and Andy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Buck.
Senator Melvin, good to see you.
Yes, Bill, thank you for letting us come here to be with you and for my colleagues to phone in. Just a couple of things. Let me kind of tee it up, as they say, for our listeners. All 50 states have a public utility commission, and they have different names. In Arizona, we call it the Arizona Corporation Commission. 270 employees, annual budget of $27 million. There are five commissioners. They are elected to a four-year term limited after two terms. And this year, three of the five seats are up and will be voted on. Early ballots are out. Maybe 50% of voters have already voted, but we would ask the listeners to please think about our team of three. We were chatting before the show started. It's interesting to look at the energy policies of the two major parties. The Democrat Party in 2012, their national platform for energy was all of the above in 2012. This year, it's almost none of the above. It's wind and solar, no fracking, no nothing. So it's really important for people to look at the party position on energy. But having said that, I know there's a lot going on up at the commission. Maybe Andy could fill us in a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to start, Senator Melvin, with Commissioner Tobin talking a little bit about what is going on currently and why teaming up with Mr. Gray and Senator Melvin. What do you see the advantage of this particular alliance, Andy Tobin?
Well, thanks, Bill. You know, it's a huge advantage for all three of us. We all have a different resource in our living around the state. I'm up north. Senator Melvin, of course, is in southern Arizona, and former Majority Rick Gray is Maricopa County and a lot of the West Valley, but all of Phoenix knows who Rick is. So, and I'll tell you what's going on. Just today, we're in the middle of the UNS case, a rape case. And today, just today, what happened was we were able, and I know that Rick and Al have both spoken to me about our produce people and that great economic development piece in southern Arizona who are struggling with their utility rates as well. We already passed an amendment into today's rate case that speaks directly to having an opportunity for them to be more competitive than losing all of that business going to Texas producers and distributors over there. So it was a big deal. I supported, actually, it was Doug, Chairman Doug Little's amendment, who is constantly under attack by Bob Burns. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we are really adding things. People should know that today what happened, my amendments got onto this bill, which talk about grandfathering, which both Rick and Al believe in as well, that, you know, for our solar folks. And we talk about, hey, if we're going to have net metering, you have to be able to determine what the value is before you can decide how we're going to distribute all that. And so that's going into a study to be done here in less than 2 months. Mm. So this ball is being moved forward. We're going to get some resolution on it. I'm proud to team up with these two guys because they're action people. Uh-huh. They don't sit around and wait for 4 years of study, like I believe the commission's in trouble, and Bob Burns is the only one who's been here for 4 years. He's offered no amendments here on this UNS case.
All right.
Zero amendments.
Representative Gray, jump in here. Why are you involved with this team?
Well, one, the reason I'm running for the Corporation Commission is to help solve problems that Commissioner Tobin just talked about. And I was fortunate enough to be the House Majority Whip when Andy Tobin was Speaker. So I've worked with him in a leadership capacity. And he's the type of person that will work to get things done. In the few months that he's been there, he's already been a very active agent in what I think of moving the Corporation Commission toward some solutions to some problems that just have not been addressed. And it's, again, one of the reasons I like Al Melvin is what he brings to the table is that ability to help solve problems and help make decisions. It isn't, the Corporation Commission isn't just about utility rates, and we need to be able to have a commission that functions properly. And I think both of these two gentlemen, with their business experience and their leadership in politics as well as business, are the kind of people that I want on the commission as a citizen of Arizona.
All right, we had a call, have a call right now. Jim, our friend Jim Kelly, would like to join in the conversation with Rick Gray, Andy Tobin, and Al Melvin. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. And this is for all three of you, any of them that want to answer. The average utility customer doesn't understand everything that goes into their rate, but they do understand this. They understand when they get charged for something they didn't use, which was a big surprise in southern Arizona when we started getting our gas bills and getting charged for gas we didn't use. The second thing that drives us crazy is when these utilities add fees that somehow weren't approved by the corporate commission or within the overall contract, and they're starting to add these little, you know, $2 and $3 fees and naming them things that we don't know what the heck they are.
All right.
What can you guys do about that?
Senator Melvin.
Andy, perhaps you can weigh in here. I would just say that I think we have an obligation to make utility bills as understandable as possible for the payer, just like a tax bill. Government has a obligation to make those as understandable as possible. But having said that, Andy, your comments?
Yeah, Bill, and hey, thanks very much, Mr. Kelly, with that question. It is, I get that all the time. I'm only here 6 months, but I get a bill just like everybody else does, and I look down and I go, where did all this stuff come from? So here's my early on position on it, where I think what's gone on for years is that corporation commissioners, because they're afraid to, you know, to take the punches from the voters if they have to increase rates, I think what they do is they look for staff to come up with some byline to show that rates didn't go up and this is just a little fee. So the truth of the matter is, I think we've lacked guts in the Corporation Commission for years. It's the most bureaucratic mess I've ever been in. And Mr. Kelly, you know me. I run agencies and close them down. So I'm not waiting around to for somebody else to tell me how to be efficient, and neither are these two guys. So there's a lot on our bills, and a lot of, and I would never lie to you. I struggle every day watching these pieces of these electric bills come in, because the research and data that goes into these calculations, I mean, you need a nuclear scientist sometimes to help you. And Mr. Kelly, I think it was done intentionally. I just do. And we're going to have to draw down into these things. And right now, the biggest issues cooking are these rate increases, these rate cases that are due. And, you know, we want to make sure we have infrastructure, but we want to make sure it's fair. And we want to make sure, you know, our folks can afford it. And so that's been my concentration, along with water issues and rail and things like that. But I do not disagree with you, sir, that there needs to be a lot of attention focused on what has happened for decades at the Corporation Commission.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Rick Ray, Andy Tobin, Senator Melvin, all stick around for another segment. But first, I want to tell everybody about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you've not been over there, that is a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, only 3 hours east of Tucson. Rains have greened up the Gila National Wilderness. It's a beautiful place to go hiking. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. Silver City. Great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon, and they have the full listing of the many places to stay and things to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Be right back.
It's time for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's second annual Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll, October 23rd at the University of Arizona Campus Mall. Bring your well-behaved canine companion and all your friends and show your support for your hometown animal shelter. All proceeds go directly back to saving the lives of the homeless and neglected animals at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. You can win prizes too, including a Fitbit and an Apple Watch. Win a custom t-shirt when you raise $100. Register today and start building your team at sweatforpetstucson.org.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More, featuring Pella replacement windows. You already know how my design team can enhance any special event. Now imagine enhancing your home with new Pella energy-efficient windows. Are your windows and doors old and worn out? Maybe your windows leak water when it rains. With those problems, why keep giving your money away to the utility company because your windows are inefficient? It's our free Pella Windows and Doors installation giveaway sale. Receive an estimate this month and we will install them for free. That's right, this month only. Your purchase of new Pella products will be installed for free. Act today. Call this number and this number only, 520-886-1602. 886-1602. Don't let these savings pass you by. Call this number, 886-1602. That's 886-1602. For the free Pella installation sale by Enhance Openings. EnhanceOpenings.com.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the Arizona Corporation Commission. There are three seats at stake. It's a five-member board. There are five Republicans. We have three of the Republicans who are running together as a ticket here with me on the show today. On the live line, we have newly appointed Commissioner Andy Tobin. Well, he's been up there for about 6 months, so I guess he's not newly appointed anymore. He's the former Speaker of the Arizona House. Former Senator Al Melvin is with me in studio, and Rick Gray, former House Majority Whip, is with us also on the live line, and together they call themselves your conservative team. Senator Melvin, did I hear you right when you were characterizing the number of employees at the Arizona Corporation Commissioner? Nearly 300 employees? Why do they need so many employees up there?
Well, it's about 270, and as I mentioned, the annual budget's about $27 million. But, you know, as we were talking during the break, and Andy, I know you and Rick can contribute to this discussion. With that large staff, over the years, it seems like the staff has taken on a role of its own. And I personally believe that one of the things that I want to do and one of the challenges is to make sure that we have the best and the brightest working on that staff, and that the commissioners are in control and that the staff is carrying out the commission's decisions, the rulemaking. More needs to be done in rulemaking. But there's so many aspects to the commission bill. There's railroad safety, gas line safety, stocks and bonds monitoring, but the bulk of it is the electricity, water, and gas. But Andy, maybe you could start it off and Rick could chime in.
Yes. What about that, Andy Tobin? Is it top heavy? Is there room for some improvement there to sort of pare down the staff?
Well, I think there's plenty, right? This is the most bureaucratic agency left in the state of Arizona. Until I arrived, they weren't even doing the lien processing that every other agency in this governor's cabinet was doing. That's mostly because they are a branch unto themselves or in the Constitution, but I think this is unintentionally or intentionally grown over the years. Like, for example, they do, Senator Melvin was right, and we've talked about this, and Rick, I know Rick Gray agrees. You know, we talked about this place doing securities management and protection. Well, we have a lot of really good people doing that. I think there's about 50 of them. But I also think that that should be over in a place you know, like where banking and insurance were. You know, I ran banking and I ran insurance, and the idea was to start consolidating them. It seems to me securities may well fit over there. So, the idea I think that both Rick and Al and I want to pursue is how can we more efficiently accomplish these tasks? We are all private business people. I was in the aerospace business. Rick was in the plumbing business. You know, our Senator Melvin, he was out there running the rough seas.
He was sailing the seventh sea.
So, I mean, you have to be efficient or you're not going to survive that either in business or out in the ocean very long. So I think together we bring that process. We say, what is more efficient? That hasn't happened here until I arrived. They weren't even doing a lean management program that Governor Ducey had every other agency doing. And where was Bob Burns? Doing nothing but barking about dark money.
Rick Gray, I know you agree with them about the size of the commission, but I am running out of time, so I want to get to this whole thing of renewable energies and this mandate. What is your position and the team's position on this?
Well, I think one that, and I think Commissioner Tobin had kind of spoken on that earlier, if somebody's got an existing solar system, they bought that under the incentives that the commission had set up, and they bought basically a 20-year package. It's got a lifetime of 20 years, and my view is that we have to grandfather them in, and I think that the commission is pretty much set on that. Moving forward, net metering 2.0 that they're coming up with in San Diego because they've reached their cap is a way to qualify, but I think that one of the top priorities is if somebody has made a financial investment because of the incentives that the Corporation Commission has made, it would be unconscionable to not maintain those for them.
One thing I'd like to mention, Bill, and Rick, if you would be good enough to give our team website at the end, if you have it there in front of you, but the five Republican candidates, we were in a one-hour debate on public television.
Yeah,
television.
Channel 8.
Channel 8.
Yeah, my friend was hosting that up at KAET. All five were up there.
I would encourage everyone to access that on their computer and Channel 6 down here where you were for so many years, Bill.
Over 20 years.
Yes. I understand that they recorded it. And I hope they show it here. I don't know if...
I hope they will, too. But, of course, I have no influence over there.
I know.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
So the whole issue of dark money was debated and debated in that hour. And it would be very, very informative to the listeners and the voters to check that out. Wouldn't you agree, Andy?
Yeah, what about
Senator,
this?
Senator, I agree 100% with that. And there's a lot of important... Basically, the answer is Commissioner Burns is playing with the Democrats. The reason I got in and I joined these two fine men to kind of make sure that we're protecting the interests in our Constitution going forward at the Corporation Commission. To Rick's point on grandfathering, all three of us are on board with grandfathering, and these two guys are making sure that not only did I vote for grandfathering today, but I carried the amendment to this Unisource program. So you're going to see that going to our docket for value of solar as part of this case. It's in fact, they're saying that this is revolutionary. Arizona is not going to look like Nevada. We're going to do it right, and these guys have really been an inspiration for me.
And Rick Gray, why don't you jump in here, please?
Yeah, Bill, I just wanted to kind of go with what Al had asked for. We've got a joint web page. It's AZ-, and that's a horizontal dash, ACC.com. Mm-hmm. So it's AZ-ACC.com. Your listeners can go to that, and then through that page they can access each one of our individual pages, but that gives them some information on us. So it's Arizona Corporation Commission, AZ-ACC.com.
Quick question about Arizona Public Service. Should they be forced, APS, to disclose the money they reportedly spent to influence the commission race 2 years ago? Al Melvin.
Well, it's a two-pronged answer, I believe, and I would ask my colleagues to comment as
Real quickly.
But first of all, this issue has gone before the U.S. Supreme Court in a case called Citizens United, which allows corporations to weigh into the public arena and to comment and to spend money. Second, the Supreme Court left it to the states with respect to the full disclosure. California chose to do that. Arizona chose not to. So we're following existing federal and state law in that respect.
I have just a few seconds. Andy Tobin, you want a quick comment on that?
Here's the deal. Senator Burns can subpoena APS, Pinnacle West, whoever he wants. He knows it's going to go to court. What he wants to do now is spend taxpayer money so he can subpoena Pinnacle West and APS so we can go in court together and write them checks. You know, Bob and Solar, that's supporting him right now, the attorney he wants to hire works in the solar industry. Yeah. Imagine that. It doesn't sound nonpartisan to me. But that's the answer. This is about Bob heading in the way of the Democrats who universally agree that with Bob Burns, and he has no support on the commission with the other Republicans.
Gentlemen have to go. Rick Gray, Andy Tobin, thank you, gentlemen, up there. And
thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen will be putting that program together. Then tomorrow morning we do 3 hours.
Back for that hour.
You're back. You're back this afternoon, yeah. Senator Melvin.
Yes.
All right. Oh, good. We'll be listening as well then. And then tomorrow morning, I don't know if Senator Melvin, you're not going to be on the morning show, are you as well?
No.
Okay. No. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 in the morning, The Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Bill Buckmaster back with you tomorrow. See you then. And Ray Allen also wishing you a great afternoon.